Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio on this Tuesday, February the 13th, 2024. And joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, day before Valentine's. Just a friendly reminder to people.
Don't forget.
Don't forget.
Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Christopher Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
I'll be back in a minute.
Hey, Brother Ray's in Kansas City. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good. I'm as soon as the program's over.
You're headed out.
I'm heading out. That's for real. That's actually what I'm doing when the program's done.
Yeah, tomorrow. What is it? You know the history of that? St. Valentine's Day? Do you know the history?
Not too much. There was a St. Valentine's way back in the early days of church history. Fred, what do we know about St. Valentine?
It was created by a florist and a guy who sells chocolates.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I do have some facts and figures on this whole day.
Look at there, Chris. How did you come up with that?
I brought this in. It's from National Retail Federation, large lobbying group. Over half of 18 to 34-year-olds and 42% of 25 to 34-year-olds are not celebrating Valentine's.
Why, because they don't have any money?
Well, yeah, that's well, one that thing. A lot of people in the 30 to 44 range that are spending money on their romantic partners also are splurging on gifts for their pets. Not sure what that's about.
Huh. What do you give your pet for Valentine's Day? I just don't.
Tiffany.
If you want to give your pet, but don't give your pet something over your spouse.
That's right. Great. Point one, fellas.
Yeah.
Don't spend more on your dog than on your wife. Okay.
And don't go to ChatGPT to write your significant other a poem.
That's right. There must be a story there.
Yes. What is it? Rewrites poem?
ChatGPT. It'll write a lot of stuff. It'll write a sermon. It'll write you a dad joke.
Well.
It'll write you a news story.
If you were looking for a Valentine's Day gift, you could ask and it'll give you some suggestions.
Yes.
Yes.
It's kind of amazing that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, guys, don't forget. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, that's all we're saying. St. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Maybe we'll get the history on that. All right, I'd like to talk about Dr. Frank Turek. Will be along with us in about 7 or 8 minutes. We will talk to him. We're going to discuss with him this Super Bowl ad that ran called He Gets Us, which was a television advertisement, obviously, during the Super Bowl, which was meant to promote Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the good, bad, and the ugly of that because I understand – $14 million was spent on a 60-second ad during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really know who is behind this effort, who paid for it exactly. Don't really know that. Haven't been able to find that out. But anyway, we'll talk about that. He Gets Us, the ad on the Super Bowl. You can go on the internet and watch it if you want to watch it. You just type in He Gets Us TV commercial and you can watch it. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Anyway, Chris, what's first story?
Well, I want to make our listeners and readers of AFN content aware of something that passed in the wee hours of the morning. The Senate did pass a controversial foreign aid bill, sending billions of our taxpayer dollars to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. A lot of the money is going to Ukraine. Some is going
Hold on a second. Excuse me for interrupting, but that has not been passed in the House. That's not law. Yeah. That's not a done deal.
Yeah, the Senate approved it.
Yes,
and that's where the story is going to go from here because House Speaker Johnson has already said this thing's dead on arrival in the House.
Members he's been saying that a lot recently.
He has. Yes.
That's his go-to phrase now.
Yes.
Dead on DOA.
And this is going to so that's going to set up one installment of the upcoming saga between senators and members of the House. Interestingly enough, 22 Senate Republicans sided with nearly all Democrats in passing this Senate measure that, again, gives billions of dollars to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Democratic Senators Peter Welch and Jeff Merkley voted no, as did Independent Senator Bernie Sanders. I'm not sure what their issue is. I can mention the 22 Republicans if you want me to.
Are you saying that this did pass in the Senate?
It did. They came
what
in.
What was the final score?
It wasn't a close 70 to 29.
Okay, so what they did here is they combined funding for Ukraine, Israel, and what else?
Taiwan.
Taiwan.
That's the first I heard of Taiwan being. Mm-hmm. Are they trying to provoke China?
Yeah. Well, at least try to look like we're support of them. I'll mention this. It's a $95 billion measure. The package includes $60 billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, and $9 billion in humanitarian assistance for Gaza, along with nearly $5 billion for the Indo-Pacific.
Now, I saw Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. He vowed to... I guess he and some other Republicans filibuster this. That is talk. Did they do that? Do you know that? I think they did.
They talked a lot last night.
I don't know what.
This didn't pass until very early this morning.
Yeah.
The sticky point of those three countries that Chris just named in this package is Ukraine. There appears to be growing resistance about keep writing checks to Ukraine. Because there is concern about, is the money actually going all to the military establishment in Ukraine? That's one thing. Another thing that we've heard some Republicans in is that we want some of this $60 billion that we're allegedly wanting to send to Ukraine. We think the Biden administration should be sending money down to secure our border before we start spending billions more to help Ukraine secure their border. Now, that's what a lot of the Republicans are saying. We have given so much to Ukraine. Questions are being asked, okay, what are we seeing for this so far? The flip side of all of this is Republicans that are saying we cannot abandon Ukraine. If we do that, then it just encourages Putin just to continue on and to take all of Ukraine, or it encourages other bad characters, be it China, Iran, or whatever the case, that we are weak and not going to help our partners. So that's the debate that's going on within the Republican Party. Now, there were two Democrats and also Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent, who voted against this bill last night, not because of Ukraine, but they don't want money going to Israel. The two Democrat senators were Jeff Markley and Peter Welch.
Right. I will share a link to our AFN article that Fred posted on our website.
So it passed 2-1 in the Senate, what you described, funding for Ukraine, Israel, a lot of money for Ukraine, mm-hmm. Israel, and then Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Red, you heard anything about funding Taiwan? That's the first I heard of that one.
Well, you know, you ask, are they trying to provoke China? China is already provoked.
Okay.
You know, their head man, their president's already said he wants Taiwan as part of China. And it just seems, it feels to me, Tim, that it's today, it's tomorrow, it's next week, it's next month. There's a lot of good security reasons why the U.S. ought to be on the side of Taiwan. So I think this is a preemptive message to China. We're not just going to stand back and let you, quote, roll the tanks, so to speak, or land the planes and take Taiwan for yourself, not without a fight from the U.S.
Yeah.
But the problem there, Tim, is we've got money for Ukraine, we've got money for Israel, we've got money for Taiwan. When does the money run out?
Yeah, we got borrowed money or printed money, however you want to say it. I saw a tweet, which is not a tweet anymore, but it was an X message. What do you call that?
A post.
Okay, a post from Elon Musk yesterday, and he was talking about how it was one sentence or two about the Americans continuing to go into more and more debt is unsustainable. Mm-hmm. We're at $33, $34 trillion, I think he said. And then you have to start paying where you reach that point where you have to, it takes every bit of tax revenue just to pay the interest on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know when that point is or what that means exactly, but that was But Elon Musk, when he speaks, I listen because he's a very astute, intelligent person. I don't always agree with his politics, although I'm agreeing more and more with it. Mm-hmm. But he's a very good businessman. You wanted to say, Chris?
Yeah, I was going to say, I spoke with economist E.J. Antoni of the Heritage Foundation about the debt issue a few weeks ago, and he mentioned that if you think inflation under Biden is bad now, wait until they start printing the money to try to pay down the debt.
Yeah. About the Ukraine, yes, you're right, Fred. A lot of conservatives, Republicans, maybe some Democrats, I don't know, are opposed to any more money going to Ukraine, or at least not that amount. What was it, $60 billion, something like that?
$60 billion,
yeah. For Ukraine.
Because of accountability purposes, we don't know where.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you how I feel. My feelings, can I share my feelings on this?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, Ray? These feelings are not based on anything but what I'm saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn on the Ukraine because, and I know, I understand what a lot of conservatives say, don't send any more money, no, and I understand that. But if we don't support Ukraine, then they're going to be swallowed up by Russia. And is that good? Is that a good thing? Is it, we okay with that? You know what I'm saying?
No, we're not okay with that. No.
Okay. Well, that's what's going to happen. Okay. That's what's going to happen is if we quit funding Ukraine, we've been funding Ukraine since the beginning, probably the major funding effort of Ukraine war, of the war effort, Ukraine resisting Russia, is the American support. And if we quit that, it's all over for Ukraine. They'll have to negotiate some kind of settlement or either just fight to the last man and woman, child in Ukraine. So I understand both sides there, and I don't know which one I'm on. I tend to be for continuing some sort of support in the name of keeping Ukraine alive. But as soon as I say that, people, friends of mine will shout me down and tell me, you know, no, they're corrupt and it's not our fight and we don't need to be spending any more money over there. Go ahead.
The trouble is that Russia has the resources. They're getting military equipment from Iran. They have the support of China in this. And they can keep going for a long time. The only way to keep Ukraine going is more foreign aid. That's why some people say the option is sit down and have some negotiations. We know the eastern part of Ukraine has been under heavy influence from Russia even before the invasion began. Some people think there is a possibility.
Split the country in two?
There's a possibility of a negotiated settlement with Putin.
Let Ukraine keep Kyiv and what's west of there?
Yes. Some people are advocating for that.
Yeah, I don't know if Putin's going to go for that or not. He says he did that interview with Tucker Carlson the other day. He said basically Ukraine belongs to Russia and always has. Yeah. That's his take.
He started from the very beginning, too, with the history.
He knows history, yeah, for sure, at least his Russian history.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Dr. Frank Turek joins us now. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Yes or no on Ukraine funding?
I'm with you, Tim. I'm torn on it. I don't know what the right thing is.
Okay. Well, you got to have a better answer than that because I had that answer first.
That answer is worth what I'm paid to do this show.
Oh, that,
there
that,
you
that,
go.
Wow.
That stung. That did. So you're still doing, you're not back on your Comrex box?
Okay. No, we haven't figured that out yet. I'm on a regular iPhone right now. So The Ukrainians and the Russians are listening to everything we're saying.
All right. Okay, Frank, so the Super Bowl, the ad.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about was an ad, a 60-second ad called, let's see, what was it called? He gets us.
Yes.
He gets us. They've run this before in different Super Bowls, if I remember correctly. And it was I hope everybody saw it or knows what they're talking about just for the sake of this discussion. It's an ad, 60-second ad. It shows different people in different walks of life, washing other people's feet. It shows a policeman officer, police officer washing somebody's, was it a black young man or something like that? Mm-hmm. It shows a woman washing the feet of another woman outside of an abortion clinic. I forgot what else is on there. Anyway, and at the end, it goes, Jesus washed feet. He didn't preach hate. I'm paraphrasing now. Mm. And I just, I watched that and I go, I don't understand what the point of this. This is a lot of money for me to be questioning what exactly is going on here. I don't understand foot washing. I mean, it's in the Bible.
Right.
But what'd you make of that, Frank?
Well, my friend Natasha Crane did a deep dive on this. She has an article on her website about it. And really, this is a group of so-called progressives, it seems, trying to get people to think that the reason Jesus came was to have us accept everyone as we are and not push back on any kind of negative behavior. This is really just a way to say that hate means disagreement. Now, we know that doesn't mean disagreement, or that disagreement doesn't necessarily mean hate, but that's what the progressives want us to believe. They want us to think that Jesus just came to make people accept everyone and not push back on any sinful behavior. That's not what Jesus came to do. Now, what I'm going to say here is going to sound crazy for a minute, but it's not. Jesus is not our example unless he's our Savior. If Jesus is not God, he's just another guy. Who cares what he did? But if Jesus is God, the most important thing he did was he went to the cross to take our sins upon himself. And then when we accept that, when we repent of our sins and we ask Jesus into our lives, then we will do good works. But they're getting the He Gets Us campaign gets it backwards. They think it's all about good works. It's not all about good works. That's a result of what Jesus came to do. It's not the reason Jesus came. He came to be our substitute, not our example. But if he is our substitute, then he is our example. Does that make sense?
Yep. Ray, on that, the whole phraseology there to me kind of bothers me a little bit. He gets us. I don't want to be too picky here. But Ray, he gets us. I'm going, he gets us. Yes. Does Jesus understand us? Yes. He's the creator of the universe. Yes. He understands us, but he gets us seems a little bit flippant. I don't know. What'd you think of it?
Well, about the ad itself.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Right.
I thought it was a cleverly put, first of all, Frank, everything you said, 100% correct. It's more like a piece of theological propaganda to take one little slice of the biblical picture of who Jesus is to make people think this is all that Jesus is. There's not anything in there about sin. You couldn't even infer the presence of sin from anything in that.
I don't think they'd allow that on TV.
Maybe not.
I don't think CBS or the NFL would allow a commercial that pointed out sin. but anyway, that's just me. Go ahead.
Well,
that would
and that brings.
If they did that.
What?
That would be a sin if they did that.
I knew what he said. I just asked him anyway.
Well, and just add this other point that at the heart of the gospel is the good news about the bad news. The bad news is we are sinners. The bad news is we are under the judgment of God. And the good news is Jesus came. He came to die in our place, to take our sins, so that when we come to him by faith, our sins are washed away and we're given a brand new life. I suppose I would say this about that commercial. I think you could do a lot more with $14 million, even if you decided you wanted to do a 60-second ad in the Super Bowl. I think you could do a much better job of presenting the gospel, the good news, and giving people something to think about other than that bit of theological propaganda.
I guess when I watched it, I kind of thought, well, for $14 million, I want somebody to know exactly what it is I'm talking about, okay? Oh. And with that ad, I was left with, Jesus washed people's feet. He didn't teach hate. He gets us. Okay, what's the next ad about? I mean, you know what I'm saying, Fred?
Yeah, And to bolster all of your points, some of the folks here at AFA had done some research. And if you go to their website, there is no mention of the gospel message. Mm-hmm. So
you mean that He Gets Us?
Yes, there is a website associated with this. And there is no mention of the purpose, as Frank was pointing out, and Ray, that the reason Jesus came is to die for sinners. That was His purpose.
Why didn't they just say that?
Well, that would be offensive, and the unsaved world knows that.
What would be offensive?
Well, because then you're saying people sin.
And then if you don't say that, you're playing hide and seek with Jesus for $14 million. That's kind of my point.
Well, they had to keep it vague enough not to make anybody angry, but also they're painting a false picture because people got angry with Jesus when He was here on this earth because He pointed out sin.
I know.
So
also the anyway, $14 million. Also, I didn't know, Frank, why do you think they put in Jesus didn't teach hate? Was that what it said?
Well, yeah, and because hate to them means disagreeing with the LGBTQ woke agenda.
Well, that's what I thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what hate means. But let me ask you a question. Did Jesus get crucified for washing people's feet?
No.
No.
Okay, so what's the point? Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. They left the second part of that out. Give my life as a ransom for many. That's why He came. He didn't come to teach us a new ethic. Love your neighbor was in the Old Testament. He came to sacrifice Himself in order that we might live. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make bad people live.
Yes.
That's why He came.
Yeah.
So this is really just propaganda, and people are going to complain. Oh, you guys are just splitting hairs. No, we're not splitting hairs. They're talking about Jesus. Isn't that a good thing? Not if it's deceiving people as to who the true Jesus was. Mm-hmm. That's why I put in the blog here on the Facebook stream, my friend Natasha Crane's article on it, because it's a deceptive move here to try and get people to think Jesus was all about coming to make us treat one another better. That's the result of why Jesus came. That's not the reason He came. The reason He came was to give His life as a ransom.
Yeah, where did you put that that article you're talking about?
It's in the stream here of the live
Today's Issues Facebook page.
Yeah, Today's Issues Facebook page. Yeah.
Okay. All right, what do you got coming up this weekend on your show?
This week we're going to have Jack Hibbs talking about the Days of Deception, Days, D-A-Z-E. He's got a brand new book, the pastor out there in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and he's on this whole – in fact, He Gets This campaign is one of the deceptive things going on right now. And here's the problem with deception. The problem with deception is you don't know you're being deceived.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so Jack Hibbs this Saturday and Sunday on the radio program Cross-Examined right here on American Family Radio. And you want to check out Frank at 9 o'clock Central Time Saturday morning. Frank Turek and Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. All right, Frank, take care, my friend. Appreciate you being on with us this morning. Talk to you later.
Thanks, brothers.
Okay,
God bless.
Thank you.
Hey, He gets it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
All right.
I'm excited.
We'll be,
He gets it.
Yeah. A little classic Frank Turek sarcasm there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chance at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so please be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Again, this is Tuesday, February the 13th, 2024. So, what is tomorrow, people? Valentine's, St. Valentine's Day.
That is.
Did you look up St. Valentine's, Chris?
I did not look it up.
Well, look it up, Chris. Tell us what the first three sentences of Wikipedia says about St. Valentine's Day.
Do you really want Wikipedia?
Well, you got a better one? Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to Google.
Can Wikipedia really mess up St. Patrick's Day?
I mean, well, first of all, W-I-K-I means what I know is. And what I know is, after looking at Wikipedia's site, Valentine's Day or St. Valentine's Day or the Feast of St. Valentine is celebrated annually on February 14th, according to someone. It originated as a Christian feast day honoring a martyr named Valentine, and through later folk traditions, it has also become a significant cultural, religious, and commercial celebration of romance and love.
Oh, it's commercial, all right.
Yeah.
There is an excellent drive-through history program on St. Valentine's Day. I just watched it. It's pretty good.
A what?
A drive-through history. It's a kind of a funny but informative video series
where
on various
I, where
things.
Where did I find that?
You can pull it up on YouTube. I found it on the TBN.
I don't have
app.
Time to do it right now, but I'll do it later.
Yeah, it goes over the what legend says it's about and then what it's become about.
I got you. All right. Well, probably getting dinner reservations is too late, I'm
probably.
Thinking.
Waffle House will take you.
You can get a table at Popeyes.
Boy, you guys.
Chick-fil-A's open.
At some point.
It'll still have 9 billion people in the drive-thru.
At some point, it's
exactly
better,
right. No.
Some point, it's better not to do anything than, that's right. than go lowballing.
You're taking that's me right. where?
That's right. That's right. You're not going to gain points. You're actually going to have points
right.
in front
that's
of
you. That's right.
You do better to say, we're going to stay home and grill out. I got some steaks.
That's right.
If you take her to Waffle House, your things might be scattered, smothered, and covered all over the front lawn.
I think that's the beginning of a good country song right there. You got right. Chris. Take my baby to Waffle House for Valentine's, and what happens to you?
Your stuff
all right,
is
splattered all over the front lawn. Huh?
Smothered and covered.
Well, you need something about a dog and a train and a truck.
That's right, and a Greyhound bus.
That's right.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, annually, we here at American Family Association and American Family Radio, AFA is the parent ministry of AFR, we promote something called the Orange Letter Campaign. Started a few years ago. And we're going to tell you what it is right now and how you can participate. It doesn't cost you anything in terms of money. We're not asking for money, but just participation. And Cedra Sarton joins us now. Cedra heads up our campaign here, the Orange Lady, and has been for a number of years. How long have you been doing this, Cedra?
It's been about 8 years now.
8 years?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the... tell us the origins of the Orange Letter Campaign.
I think we all remember a video that went out in 2015 of 21 Christians being beheaded on a beach, and they were wearing orange jumpsuits.
It was in Egypt or somewhere, Libya or somewhere.
I believe it was Egypt. But I think as Christians around the world, we all looked at that and we thought, what can we do? You know, is there anything we can do? And that year we had the opportunity to take letters from the listeners and send them to the families left behind. And each year AFR has reached a different country and sent letters to them. And this year we're focusing on Russia.
How did we, I remember that we were able to find out, and the reason because the Orange Letter campaign is because those poor men who were decapitated on the shores of the Mediterranean, I think it was in Egypt, if I remember correctly, by these Islamic jihadists, were in orange jumpsuits.
They were. And that's how the Orange Letter campaign got its name.
We were able, I don't know if we were working through Voice of the Martyrs or who we were working through.
That year we were working with E3 Partners, still a very good ministry, and they were able to make connections there.
We were able to find out who the families were of these men who were killed, and then people from all over the country who heard about it wrote those families letters.
Yes,
and we delivered them, or we got them.
Well,
we had
our friends at E3 Partners did. They
delivered those. E3 Partners.
This year, though, we are partnering with Global Outreach International, which is a local ministry. They have missionaries all over the world, close to 300 of them. And so they will take the letters this year.
Who are we writing letters to this year?
To Russia. So to our brothers and sisters in Russia, I can't guarantee who exactly will get your letter, but believers in the country of Russia will get them. And so just write your letters of encouragement, prayer.
Are they under persecution or something?
Yeah, they are. Well, and it may not be, beheadings and things like that, but they do have a lot of government control, things that they have to be careful what they say or how they say it. We've had pastors who have spoken out about things happening in the war. I think a lot of people who've been watching the news know about Russia and Ukraine and all of that that's happening there. And pastors who question the war and the tactics of the Russian military can be detained and have been detained for that and things like that. So they have to be very careful about.
Okay, how do I find out more about this? How do I participate?
Well, if you want to write a letter and participate this year in the campaign, you can go to afr.net/OLC or just afr.net if that's too much for you to remember. It'll be right on the front. And there'll be a form that you can fill out with all the information. You put your letter, 200 words or less, just letting these people know that you're praying for them and that you have not forgotten them, and that maybe include some scriptures that mean a lot to you. And when you submit that, we will take those letters and send them to our friends at Global Outreach, and they will make sure they get to Russia.
Again, it's at AFR.net?
AFR.net.
So do I have to write in Russian?
No, you write English.
Yet.
Write English?
Write English.
English, and it'll be translated?
Yes.
They don't speak...
Our friends at Global Outreach, they will make sure that the letters get to who needs to be able to translate. And
okay. All right. AFR.net. AFR.net. And this is just trying to encourage. We pick a country every year. To try to encourage our fellow believers. Again, we're not asking for money or anything like that. It's just these letters go into the hands of Christians or our brothers and sisters somewhere in the world. This year it's Russia, to encourage them.
Yes.
In their faith.
Yes, exactly. Right? And if you want to know more about Global and what they're doing and other people they have on the field, you can go to globaloutreach.org. And I encourage all the listeners to go there, look at the list of missionaries and people they have on the field, and take time and pray over them.
Yeah. Thank you, Cedra.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Appreciate it. Cedra Sarton. Thank you, Cedra, for stopping by and telling us about this. We do this annually. You guys, Ray, you remember when that happened to those men over there in Egypt?
Yeah, those were Coptic Christians from Egypt, and they were marched out there, and they were beheaded. Orange jumpsuits, and the guys behind them in black, and ISIS, they filmed it. They weren't hiding it. They were proud of it. And the final picture of that video was the blood flowing into the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah.
People of the cross, they said, "We're coming for you." ISIS may be gone or mostly gone, but the persecution of Christians in so many parts of the world is actually on the increase. And so, Tim, I just want to say wonderful, wonderful ministry for AFA to be doing. Encourage all of our friends to get involved in the Orange Letter campaign.
I have shared links to what she was just discussing on our Facebook page, as well as in the comments of the show on Facebook. Look also for a link to Share Truth and Apply Scripture. That's the weekend radio program that Cedar does with Jordan Shamley. I'm sometimes on there. Fred's filled in and done news segments on there as well in the past. So do check out the links for that information.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Ed, and Ray. No, Ed's not here. Fred, Chris, and Ray are joining us today. The Republican primaries in South Carolina, when?
That's coming up on the 24th, Saturday the 24th.
Okay.
And it's, you know, Nikki Haley has been... Former governor, elected twice there. She was the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. under Donald Trump. But they are in a verbal hockey term, Donnybrook, for there. The polling so far is showing Donald Trump with a significant lead over Haley. Trump
probably 2-1 at least, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Trump has also received endorsements from members of Congress from South Carolina, I think both senators from South Carolina. So it appears at this point an uphill battle for the former governor, but we will have to wait and see. But it's a pivotal point. And then, of course, the next big one is Super Tuesday on March the 5th.
How many states is that?
Is it 16? I believe it's 16 states on Super Tuesday, March 5th.
Yeah.
And most people feel, you know, it'll be over when we get the results of March 5.
It'll be over.
Yeah.
So speaking of Trump, he said this today, Tricky Nikki, I guess that's a new Nick. He called her Bird Brain, but I guess she's Tricky Nikki now. I don't know. Tricky Nikki is crashing in the polls. She is 15 points down to Crooked Joe Biden, and I'm crushing him in all the polls. She's got no reason to make it to the South Carolina primary. The other day, she had almost no people attend her rally, in quotes. We had thousands and thousands who couldn't even get into the large arena. This is Trump. An embarrassment for her wonderful husband in Africa. I think he should come back home to help save her dying campaign. End of quote. Only problem is he's deployed, right?
That's right.
In Africa. He can't just get on an airplane and come back home to save his wife's dying campaign. just typical classless Trump, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know why he's paying attention to Nikki Haley. She's so far down in the polls. Why even mention her at all?
Yep.
And
she's not going to win in South Carolina.
No,
right?
She's not. She's not going anywhere against Trump one-on-one in the super. So I don't know when she'll drop out. Listen, as I said before, I give everybody their props who want to throw their hat in the ring and get involved and raise money and travel and speak and go on TV and get criticized and everything. I'm talking about all of them, from Trump to Biden to all of them. I give them credit for being out there, okay? Biden isn't out there much, but you get the idea. I'm talking about it sort of in the arena, Nikki Haley included. And so it's hard to realize that you're not going to win, okay? So I think she probably decided, hey, I'll stay in this until South Carolina, my home state, and if I can't beat Trump there, then this is me guessing, she'll probably drop out. Maybe not. Maybe she wants to continue on thinking, well, if Trump has to leave the campaign for some reason, health, or maybe he gets convicted of felonies or something that causes him not to be able to run, then she's there to be the second place.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure. She may continue into March 5, Super Tuesday. But she is getting a lot of money. She's been able to raise many millions of dollars in recent weeks, despite the fact that she lost in Iowa, despite the fact she lost in New Hampshire.
Right.
She hasn't won any, and she, of course, Nevada also.
Yeah, Sarah, don't you think she has to at least, I'm thinking she has to at least go 55-45. I'm talking about, if she can lose, that's still not good. But, Ray, if she can lose 55-45 in South Carolina, maybe she can live to fight another day. Well, I'm trying to look at it from her side.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance in the world she gets to 45. Like it or not, the Trump machine is going full blast. The field is cleared. All the endorsements have come to him. Everybody expects him to be the Republican nominee, unless, as you said, Fred, something happens on the legal front that changes the whole calculus. But you do make a good point. She is getting a lot of money.
Yes,
raising millions.
I will say I've got the Real Clear Politics data pulled up in front of me, and I just posted this link. Trump is up at least. He's up anywhere from 26 to 35, 37 points on Nikki Haley in South Carolina right now.
Yeah, in the polling. All right. So, listen, I don't want to suggest that Nikki Haley hasn't said some things about Donald Trump that are mm-hmm. kind of – that are harsh, too, because she can dish it herself.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't be picking on her husband if I were Trump, since he's a military who's deployed.
Yeah,
again, why draw him into any kind of attacks? You know what I'm saying?
And Mr. Trump doesn't have to be saying those things.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, this rally last weekend, they were lined up at 1 o'clock in the morning to get into this rally. I mean,
I don't know why he just doesn't ignore people more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just ignore them.
I think that's Donald Trump's personality.
He can't. He can't ignore
help himself.
No. New York business guy, tycoon. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. If somebody didn't have a chance to beat me, I wouldn't even mention their name. Unless I was just going to say, well, I wish them well, and when I'm the nominee, I'll be glad to get their support. Next question.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Not Bird Brain. There's Bird Brain over there. That's not the way you endear yourself to women voters, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
Calling ladies Bird Brains. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's your next story, Chris?
Well, let's keep it in politics for just a moment, because today is a special election in New York City for the congressional seat once held by Representative George Santos. George Santos was the guy that House Republicans and Democrats voted to expel from Congress a few months ago based on things he was found to have supposedly done with campaign funds, and the list goes on. I'll share that backstory here in just a moment.
Please do.
But the story here involves the Republican candidate running today against Democrat Tom Suozzi. The Republican is an Ethiopian-born American who goes by the name Mazi Pillip, if I said her name correctly. Mazi Melissa Pillip, or Pillip, I should say. Again, she's running against Democrat Tom Souza. She's Republican, he's Democrat. And I've got some audio of her talking about the issues that are of importance to New Yorkers today. Clip 4.
It's very simple. Today is all about doing the right things. It's all about securing our borders. It's all about being tough on crime and supporting law enforcement. It's all about improving our economy. This is the opportunity for the 3rd Congressional District resident to vote for me and to send a message to Suozzi. His time is over. He created this mess, the border crisis. He opened the border. And as a result, we are facing a border crisis, which we have to take care of as soon as possible.
Real quick, before we get analysis of what she had to say there, she does not expect weather to be a factor in today's vote. If you're not paying attention to weather, it's snowing quite a bit in New York City, but she says people are going to get out and vote. She doesn't expect weather to be a factor.
Now, this is in New York mm-hmm. City?
Yes.
Queens.
Queens, and... this is to replace Santos, who was the Republican who got kicked out of Congress, mm-hmm. right, for his scandals.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lady we just heard from there is a Republican. She's an Ethiopian immigrant
yes.
to the U.S.
Orthodox Jew. She's got a couple of degrees from universities in the Tel Aviv area.
Okay. Wow. Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. Is that today, you say?
It is today, yes. We could have results by the time you guys go to air tomorrow.
So, the Democrats, when are they going to stop the counting?
I see what you did there.
Bada-boom.
Yeah. Huh? When they say it's done.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, they need to count those absentee ballots from California.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Hey, speaking of what Democrats are saying and doing about election, I can squeeze this in real quick. You know, Democrats still to this day claim that Russia interfered in the 2016 election, and that's why Donald Trump won over Hillary Clinton. It wasn't because Trump had a better message, more people sided with him. It's because Russia interfered. And they're already starting to try to lay that narrative out for the 2024 election. And I say that because former Biden press secretary Jen Psaki, now at MSNBC, had a very softball interview with one California representative, Adam Schiff. They're talking about Russian interference this year. Clip 8.
Are you worried that Putin could be attempting, and the Kremlin could be attempting to intervene in our election in 2024? And should we all be spending more time talking about that?
I am very concerned about it. It wouldn't be the first time that Russia's intervened in our election.
No.
It wouldn't be the first time they've done it to try to help elect Donald Trump. And they have so much more at stake today than they did back in 2016. With the war going on in Ukraine, with NATO enlarging around it, they feel beleaguered. And here comes Donald Trump, a real lifeline. They have more at stake. They have less reason to avoid risk. The United States is supporting Ukraine in the war, or has been until Trump's influence on the GOP. So they have more at stake now than they did before. They have
That's all Adam Schiff I can take.
Okay. Let me write that down.
Yeah, that was over 30 seconds. That's my daily dose.
Putin feels beleaguered?
I don't know. What did he say there, Ray? Do you catch that?
In what sense would Putin feel beleaguered, Fred, right?
He certainly didn't look beleaguered in that interview that Tucker Carlson did with him. I think he feels he's on top of the game here.
Listen, I think the Democrats are ready to say Russian interference without proof.
Yes.
Trump's going to say the election's rigged.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say that tomorrow. So whichever way it goes, I'm saying. So I think both sides are going to claim election interference going into November. So we'll see what happens there. But do you think Putin cares who wins? You think he'd rather Trump win? Because
I think Putin probably is enjoying. I'll put it this way: Putin is enjoying the leadership of Joe Biden right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole world is. The bad guys.
China, Iran, they're really liking it.
He's not functioning.
And I think if there was any interference, it would be to help Joe Biden get reelected.
Gotcha. You mean on the part?
That's what we have.
You mean on the part maybe of the international bad players?
Absolutely.
Think so?
They're having a great time with Joe Biden in the White House.
Yeah.
They're doing, quick review. A weather balloon from China spying on the United States of America. Everybody's aware of it, but Joe Biden doesn't shoot it down until it gets off the coast of the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you just imagine Donald Trump allowing that balloon to do that, or any conservative leader? It's ridiculous.
By the way, we related to the military, we need some apologies for firing all the military personnel during COVID.
Oh, yes.
But not getting the COVID vaccine shot, too.
Yes.
Is that day coming? Because our military, I know I'm whiplash here, but these are related. You were talking about the weather balloon was a spy balloon by China. And our military is depleted now for personnel.
Yes.
Way under the recruitment numbers that at least the Army, Navy, Air Force, I don't know about the Marine Corps, Coast Guard. But and you've got a story today where about whites not.
Yeah.
What is that?
This is a Daily Caller story that's out this morning. The headline is exclusive: a huge blow, decline in white recruits fueling the military's worst ever recruiting crisis. And basically what the data shows, traditionally in this country, there's been generational people that go into the military. In other words, grandfather.
Well, black and white in that regard, yes. but a lot of, since whites make up 60%+ of the public, you're going to get a lot of
naturally
your recruits
more.
from white families,
yeah.
Right?
And we've had this story back a couple of months ago, that traditional military families, in other words, grandfather was the military, dad was in the military.
Right, sure.
Son, that has stopped. That tradition has stopped, and that's creating or contributing to the crisis in recruiting. Because they don't want a young white male is looking at what's happening in the military, and they're saying, hey, a young white male, I don't want to have to go into a shower area with a woman who says it's a guy, because that's being allowed in our military.
Also, the woke garbage, which, and the, what do you call it? DEI. Well, that, but the critical race theory.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So the critical race theory, which is being promoted in the military, do you want me to boil critical race theory down to about three words? Hmm. I got four. White people are devils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what they're teaching.
Yes.
And with this critical race theory.
Yes.
And so these white people, sons and daughters of former military, this ain't my daddy and my granddaddy's military.
That's right.
Why do I want to go in and be subject to all this?
Yes.
This woke garbage, mm-hmm. CRT and pushing the LGBTQ, and I gotta be on a submarine bunking with a guy who says he's a girl.
Yeah. Yep.
Why do I want to do that? Yep. I'll just do something else.
That's right. That's right.
When in the past, the families, you say, it was generational military.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.